Zane Lowe, Apple Music.
Thanks for joining me once again for a new conversation right here on the interview series. I will take any opportunity to spend any time in conversation with the shape-shifting and remarkable Janelle Monáe. I can't remember the first time that we met, but I remember one of the first times I was DJing at an industry event, like a very high-level industry event, very sort of heady room, quite a lot of pressure, a lot of people dancing, trying to keep the room moving, feeling like quite a sort of serious level of responsibility on my shoulders to make sure people had a good time in that room that night. I felt this presence behind me. I turned around and Janelle Monáe just came into the DJ booth and just to tell me I was killing it, doing a great job, keep going, this is awesome. And stuck around and just boogied in the booth for a minute and then split and just went and charmed everybody else naturally like she does. Now, the reason I share that is because it was the kind of selfless, amazing thing, for me at least, amazing gesture that Janelle Monáe does, right? Recognizing like, something's going on here. Let me just go and make sure that this vibe is strong and that everyone's feeling good. She's incredibly generous with her gift and with her time, but she's also unbelievably focused and laser sharp with her vision. Every single project, every time she comes back, it's something new. And now we're in the age of pleasure. We don't just stop there. We cover a lot of ground, including the new development of AI in the arts, and who better to ask than the android herself. The incredible Janelle Monáe joining us right here this week in the interview series.
Yeah.
Hands around my waist, so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I wanna feel a little tongue. We don't have a long time. Oh, you're talking nasty, and I like it. Whisper in my ear, only me you can hear. I see you from the back, and I'm excited. Tell me what we're doing when we walk up in the room. I hope it's something nasty we can try.
Do it. Ooh, you got okay. You got it. You better.
Just for your love, I'll take my time. I just wanna feel your hips on mine.
You gotta do that little.
Oh, that's the funk.
Here we go back. Yeah.
Lover, 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 lover.
Oh, my days.
Ah! That was so cute. Look at you.
To know how to play. To be alive at a time when I get to spend time with you is such a joy.
Aw, you know I adore you always.
Same. Thanks for being around. Thanks for coming back with music.
Shoot, can I put this on? I wanted to be cute and wear my hat.
The hat looks amazing. You can either flip it around. Oh, you kind of figured it out.
Wait, could y'all hear me on here when I was playing too?
Sounded a little like bit. An angel. Are you kidding me?
I didn't know. I was like, I should have. We were in the moment.
You were like Yoda. You were just using the force at that point, right? You couldn't even hear yourself. I'm sure that's happened before on stage as well. That's an unspoken thing about being an artist is it may not work for you, so you better be ready to work for it, right?
Look, it never stops, even with, you know, this album, this project, I'm just like, you know what? It takes work. Like, I just can't, I have to learn things all over again. I have to practice. I have to, you know, and thank God I love the songs. So it's always like a fun, you know, fun thing to do. It's like starting on a blank canvas.
But fun is the word. I mean, so far, fun is the word. And we've received beautiful, conceptual, deep, meaningful bodies of work from you every time. You're one of those artists that takes your time and we respect it because when you show up, all those learnings, all those things that you've decided you want to grow into, they are presented when you're ready. And so when I knew music was coming, I was like, okay, what kind of mood are we going to find Janelle in? And Float comes out and I'm like, wow, she is sparring. And then this comes out and it's light. It's deep groove-wise and funk-wise.
Yeah.
But it's like you're floating through things right now. It feels like musically.
Listen, you said it. And I hope, most importantly, you know, I feel it. So I hope that people feel that when they listen to the music, that they feel that when they come and, you know, counter with me when I'm around. I definitely have had an opportunity to evolve and grow and to tap into the things that bring me pleasure, the things that perhaps I should rethink and rework.
And what's most important to that process? Is it space? Is that what you need to get to those places to unlearn and learn new things? Is it space?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is just saying, you know what? Let's get back to the basics. Let's honor the present. I think a lot of times artists, at least the friends that I have, we talk about it, and they're artists, we talk about sort of like, you know, making sure that we can enjoy life outside of what it is that we do. So if that's spending time with friends, reconnecting, having a game night, going to a beach if you can, you know, taking more baths, like doing things that perhaps, I think, pre-pandemic, we probably would not have had enough time to do because our lives were set up in a way where we were of service. I'm of service all the time. I'm moving. I'm on tour. I'm doing an album. I'm doing a film. And all those things you love, right? You love. I've asked for it. I've prayed for it.
Yeah.
But their balance has to be restored in all things. And we see that just not in just our lives, but just in the world. You know, balance is super important.
Quarantine was, looking back on it now, and it's only with some space, I'm starting to identify the relationship that we developed over that time with fear. You know, I think we were also afraid during that time, but we were actually coming out of a period of exceptional fear.
Yeah.
Which is why none of us wanted to let go of the things we'd prayed for and dreamed of. We were like, what if it goes away?
Yes.
And I think one of the few silver linings that came out of that human experience was perhaps to not be afraid of that side of things. Sit in your life for a minute and realize that actually it's all okay. The way you started is the way you continue. And everything that's happened since may not have the level of gravity that we applied to it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Ooh, absolutely. No, you are preaching a word. I mean, I think when the pandemic hit for me, touring, I had just come off Dirty Computer. I actually had just opened up for the Oscars. That was my last big, I haven't been on a big stage since 2020,
wow.
Oscars.
Wow.
And then the pandemic hit and boom, touring. I was supposed to do like some really, really cool things on the road, and all of that got canceled. And you had to sit. I had the opportunity. I mean, there are a lot of people who obviously didn't have the privilege that I had to be in a house and to, you know, have an opportunity to have that space because, they were busy trying to figure out how not to be homeless,
how to pay bills,
or to pay for
exactly.
their kids, or their, like, it was tough, you know, watching that, and then you sort of feel guilty about that, and then you're just like, shoot, I'm in a space as an entrepreneur artist where, you know, my finances come in waves. Like, if I'm not working or doing anything, you know, you try to set aside money and do all those things, but for the most part, I have to keep working.
And not just that, but as an entrepreneur, you choose to surround yourself with people who share vision.
Yeah.
Which means that everybody moves as a team. You're not moving into an existing corporate infrastructure.
Exactly.
You are the corporate infrastructure.
Well, ooh, I don't like that.
It's a terrible term, but
am I the corporate? I try not to be. We have a super, the people that are with me now have been with me when I was sleeping on a couch and on the floor and living in a boarding house.
And you're right to pull me up on that. It's a terrible term. But the point I'm trying to make.
Is not the vibe.
It's not the vibe. But the vibe is that you choose to be responsible for each other.
Yes, we have to take care of each other.
And not let the business model, the corporate infrastructure, decide whether or not we can take care of you, right?
Yes.
There's safety and risk in that. It's all risk when you run your own board.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have an independent label, Wonderland.
Yeah, that's right.
And we still move like indie folks. We still, you know, put the ideas over, money and how things will sell. Obviously, we want to be able to pay rent and mortgage and all those things. But we still believe in ideas and being of service and creating quality, creative, you know, innovative things that feel good to us first. And then hopefully, you know, folks are on that same frequency and have a need for it in their lives.
It's working.
So I've been fortunate to do that.
Yeah.
But we keep a super family vibe, you know, super small still. And a lot of us had to go through this pandemic, like just really opening up, you know what I mean? Like talking about like, hey, I need to take a break. Like I need to get some therapy for myself. And I feel like all of us have had to make lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
All of it. All of us have had to just say, rethinking, just because, you know, you're in the matrix of this music industry,
yeah,
of this film industry, you know, how to make sure that we're not of it and how to redefine what success feels like for us, to redefine what balance looks like for us, to redefine how do you play also while having fun? Like, I mean, while working, excuse me, and having fun, like, how do we make this sexy again? How do we make this fun?
That's how you bring your best self to the table every time and not a version of yourself others become attached to. It's it's really easy, I think, when you have success being yourself for us to want to keep yourself there.
You
got to turn up every time and say, look, this 2023 me is very different. There's been a lot of me in between that and 2018.
I'm not the same.
You know?
I think I didn't change. Like exactly. Those lyrics for Float.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I have to put this out now. Like this is exactly, how do I honor how I'm feeling and who I am now? Not Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
You know, not thinking about the past, not even thinking about the future, but like right now. Because this is all we have.
That's all we
right
have
now.
Is the present moment. My therapist always tries to bring me back to it.
Yeah.
He's always like, I can tell when you're getting ahead of yourself and trying to project and protect because you talk too fast.
Ooh, look, I'm going to be watching. I'm taking notes.
He's like, when
slow
you're,
it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut it down in half. That's what Prince would say to his band. He would be like, you know, if they got sort of like, sometimes when people have jitters or nervous or whatever, they kind of play too fast or they're talking fast. He's like, cut everything down in half. And it's a good mental, and I take that approach in life. Cut it down in half. Sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes you'll miss out on opportunities that you think could have, you know, taken you to the next level. Because it's always like, well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if this? What if I don't? They don't call me anymore. That fear. You got to deal with that.
You got to deal with that.
I dealt with that too.
Yeah.
I had to deal with it. I was like, you know what? Hey, I have to realize being present for me is my North Star. If I'm split between all these different worlds and I'm always thinking about what's next, you know, was I here? Did I live? Did I really live? Or was I spending so much time planning and worrying and rehearsing what could happen and what I need to do next? And
so where is the perfect chemistry between those two things? Because we can't be talking about this new song in relation to a body of work, which comes with a complete aesthetic vision, because you move in multiple colors and multiple layers.
I like that.
You got to plan that. You got to dream that up.
You do.
But then you've also got to find a way to be true to the moment, so you know that it's the most authentic version of each building block. So that I think is where, if you get inside the process, it's hard sometimes for me at least to see how you glue those things. How do you do it?
Yeah. Well, what I did this time around is I allowed myself, like I had to surround myself with friends who kept me present and centered. Because I remember going through a chunk of my career, I could be at a party and be thinking about like an award show or thinking about a photo shoot or an idea or a song or
what's next.
And my friends would be there. I'm looking at them. They're having so much fun. They're like living their best lives.
It's almost like you're facilitating their good time, and to pay for it, you got to be thinking about where can I go.
Like, man, and that happened so much. And I think what I had an opportunity, unique opportunity to do, because again, not everybody had this opportunity, right? They could not do this, but I was just like, if I'm here, if I'm in this house, like, let me really engage with my friends. Let me just like let go, like. It was good. The world, you know, shut down a little bit. And it was like, let me just use this time to exercise my being present muscle. And I would have friends that literally would be like, you're not present. like, this is game night. You put all of us together. I would have, like, murder mystery parties and, you know, we would do, it like, stuff that I just was excited about. And then at first, it took some real, like, come back, you know, Janelle, like, come back. We're about to take a shot. You're, what are you thinking about, you know? And after a little bit, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, there's so much joy in being present. Because I'm not thinking about the future. Like, did you hear that there's like a quote where they say, if you're thinking about the future, you're sitting in anxiety. If you're thinking about the past, you're sitting in depression.
Yep.
But when you're present, you know, and especially when the circumstances are beautiful for you, you're at your happiest.
It's acknowledging and accepting that change is inevitable in every second of life, and that we anxiety is the byproduct of us trying to catch the change and get ahead of the change, or at least catch up to see it. And it's just a simple fact that we're always going to be behind it.
Yeah.
And that's what the present teaches us, is that being in the moment is as close to that without trying to control it as possible. Right?
That's where the magic happens.
It is, really.
You know, I was a really, really hardcore perfectionist and OCD and super, like, if things didn't go exactly how I planned in my head, throw it all away, you know, whether it was a performance. And looking back, I'm like, that was such a beautiful, amazing performance. But I couldn't see it then because I was so, I had already structured what I wanted it to be. I wasn't allowing the moment to have that surprise. And I think that's what I'm on now. Like, I'm like, what, and my fear was always messing up publicly or doing something that feeds into that perfectionism, that feeds into, you know, I had to deal with rejection, abandonment issues, all of that. I literally had to go back to the root of where is this stemming from, but I didn't even know I was dealing with it because I was so in it.
Well, you found the most beautiful distraction of all time, right? Which is, because I can relate, abandonment issues, obsessive compulsive disorder, a desire to control the environment, which is out of control. Then it needs a host, so the arts is a great host. It's a beautiful host because it's expression, right? And it requires discipline, and it requires you to step outside of your own reality, develop an identity, but all those things go with you. So if you're telling me you're at a point now and I'm hearing this music and there's freedom in your identity, that's just...
Oh my God. Listen.
Got you.
That's it. Yeah, of course. Thank you. I've always wanted somebody to do that for me. Thank you. No, seriously. I definitely feel like I've tapped more and more into my free-ass motherfucking spirit.
Boom.
Like, I think I was at a point using it as a talking point, but now I'm living it.
Yeah, you can hear
it. And I'm able to get through.
Yeah.
Think, like, it's not like, doesn't happen. Things happen all the time. Yeah. We're not in a world where...
It's accepting that. It's actually accepting that it's going
to
happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
How are we going to... How do you say that? Self-regulate back to...
The moment.
The moment. How do we pull it back to the moment? How do we not allow other people's energy to shift our energy because you thought, you in your mind had, well, this is how it's supposed to go. People say, no. You have to create, you literally have to just say, this is the narrative in which I am living, because we tell ourselves stories every day. I don't know about you.
Of course, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the identity wants us to do. It keeps it wants us to write it for itself.
Oh,
right?
Write it for itself. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking so, like I'm just so, you know, there and everything. But the truth of the matter is...
Oh, yeah.
The things that I find that really make me happy is when I can really be with loved ones and friends and I know that serving is still my thing. Serving the people that I love, the people that I care about. And I think with this project, with music and with art, I love to be able to create things that we like, and that's it. And that's kind of how I started to write all these songs.
Best Janelle Monáe yet. There's been thousands of you throughout life.
There are lots of clones.
Lots of clones. The best one yet. You know, admiration was there from the get. All of that discipline and perfectionism got the world's attention. We all saw it. We all heard it. We were all like, it was just, we admired you so much, and that remains, it never goes away.
No.
But it's so much fun to see you enjoying the process.
Yeah.
And leaning in. And like I said, you hear it in these songs. What I loved about Float as well is even though you're dancing with, in space with your friends and searching for that freedom, there's poignancy in there too. The idea of letting people go.
Ooh.
The idea of moving on from toxicity and finding the right people in your life.
Mm.
So I love that even though you're light on your feet, you're still heavy with the pen.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, man. Like with Float, it's like, how do I put it? Yeah, it's really, it would be like my thesis.
Mm.
My thesis as I shed and transform into this next, you know, version of who I am.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of what, like in Float, when I, it was a lot more than I really wanted to say, but sometimes you don't need to say everything. And it was just for, some things are just for me. But I think with some of those lyrics, you know, being able to say like, or I don't know, let's re-ask this. What were you saying? You just made a comment. I don't even need to respond to that. You just made a comment.
Yeah.
Look, there's no need. Look at me. So yeah, let me just relax. Let me relax. I'm doing too much. I'm trying to have a response for that. Okay.
When you decide it's time to come out and make music and talk about music, being such a full creative spirit, and applying yourself to your point, entrepreneurial activities, how do you make time for music? Or let me rephrase that. How do you know when it's time for music to dominate your focus and not the other things that you're committed to and passionate about, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that happened was I went to go shoot a film, a little film called Glass Onion.
Congratulations, by the way.
Which I had so much fun doing. Thank you so
much.
You're
amazing.
Thank you.
Star turn.
I loved that experience. And before I went, though, I was having some illegal parties.
Mm.
As in, you're only supposed to have like 25 people at your house. You know, we're in the pandemic.
Are you raving?
But I had to figure out how to, like, I'm a person, creatively, I thrive off being around people.
Yeah.
And then going back by myself, recharging.
Right.
How are you going to make music and like
by, unless you live it.
On an island?
Unless you live it.
Unless I live it.
You got to live it.
I have to live it. So my friends who
so you
got to
live it up.
Live it up, live it through, live it down, live it around. So I have friends who have this this party collective called Everyday People. Have you been to an Everyday People party?
No, I've got to go.
Oh, you would love. Let me tell you, the most beautiful brown and black folks from the continent, you know, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Atlanta, LA, Jamaica, the Bahamas, like coming together and just partying. And partying as strangers, as people who probably have never met, but they're smiling at each other. It's just so incredible. And the music reflects that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm a piano, it's reggae, it's dancehall, it's trap, it's like, and these are all my friends. And so when I had an opportunity, because they could not find a venue to host them because of the pandemic, and they were like, I was like, oh, you're going to come to my house.
Amazing.
Come here. We're going to do it here. Amazing. At Wonderland. And so we tested everybody. We did do that.
Yeah.
And we had an Everyday People Wonderland party. And it was at that party, Zane, that I was like, oh, this is who I want to make music for. This moment right here, I want to make the soundtrack to this lifestyle. They get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we fight to protect.
Mm-hmm.
All of like my work that centers around protecting my communities that I'm a part of, you know, from the LGBTQIA+ communities to being black to like all of that. I was like, this is the diaspora, like, and I'm on like this mushroom trip. I'm not going to say literally or figuratively, but I'm looking at just I'm looking at God right now.
Yeah.
And it was at that one party that I had. Yeah. I'm looking at God, like, work and say, like, this is what you need to capture. If Nina Simone said, like, an artist's job is to reflect the times.
Yep.
Boy, was a time had.
Yeah, which is amazing. You created an environment in order to create a framework you can work within. Chosen family, right?
Yeah, chosen family. People that got, like, it wasn't about, people were working, you know, office day jobs. Some people were, you know, working in local. It wasn't about what people did. I wasn't Janelle Monáe to them.
Yeah, I wondered if you could slip into that environment and just be one of everybody.
Oh, I was
be
one
everyday
with,
people.
I was one with everybody. Listen, this was the type of party I don't even know about. Like, you come in, you know, it's at four o'clock it start, and you got one DJ. By the time, and it's one sort of music. Everybody's coming in, getting their drinks. Like, I'm gonna set the scene for you. Coming in, you getting your drinks. There's a pool outside. It's palm trees. Everybody's coming in, fully dressed, clothed. You know, shaking each other's hands. There's food being prepared. Like, there's chicken patties. There's oxtails. There's plantains. People still drinking. Da, 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 da. Then you go into, like, the evening where the sun is going down.
Music shifts.
It's getting more shifts. Exactly. The music has the shift. Mm-hmm. There might be a different DJ coming on around that time. Then people are getting more loose. They're in the pool. Clothes are coming off. Then it's dark. We're going until, like, midnight. Like, I can go on and on. What I did with this album is I time boxed it to a way where if you listen to it from 4 to 4 a.m. to 6 a.m, it'll soundtrack
Amazing.
Your whole night.
Amazing.
It'll soundtrack your whole night. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to capture the time that we had, sprinkle it on this record, and, like, I wanted the world to feel our frequency.
Boom. Frequency is a funny thing, isn't it? You know, because we are open to it as well as we're trying to search for our own on the dial.
Yeah.
But in doing so, you cover a lot of static, a lot of different feeds.
Yeah.
I don't want those feeds.
Yeah. And I focused. You want the feeling.
I want the feeling.
The feeling, and that's what I did too. I was like, you got to focus on the feeling.
This is the conversation that's being had around me at the moment a lot, and around everyone in the creative business is what are we going to do about this AI shit?
Ooh.
And what's interesting to me is, because I'm not an enemy of progress or of growth, I understand that things are going to shift around us, and the best thing we can do is work out how to apply and adapt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I log on and I see, like, a headline literally an hour ago that says, and it was so glib.
Mm.
It was so throwaway that I didn't even know how to take it. This is the headline. Here's the Beatles and Beach Boys collaborating with AI. It's so glib. It's not like, oh, we just took two of the greatest creative groups of all time and imagined what it sounds like. It was like, oh, by the way, here's them just collaborating and it's just being generated, right?
Right.
And the reason I raise that is because we're talking about frequency and feeling. To me, the fundamental reason why this is never going to resonate within the arts is because it fundamentally lacks the feeling.
Mm, mm.
Because the feeling has to come from you. And what inspires you is what I'm trying to get close to.
Yeah.
And that tiny bit of distance between what you've created and what I'm hearing is the feeling.
That's it. That's it. Our stories.
Yeah.
Our stories.
Without the stories, what do we live
with? No. You cannot. There's no way. And we have to make sure that we're telling them and we're having them. That's it. That's what will set us apart. I mean, listen, you're talking to an android. You know, 57821, Cindy Mayweather, right? I've dedicated my last, like, since the beginning, really, of my career, I've been talking about this moment and the fact that we're in it.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I've been talking about Ray Kurzweil and the singularity is near and, you know, how we're going to have to figure out how we're going to integrate, because it's not going away. Like, we're going to live in a world right now where you can't differentiate the Beatles from The AI Beatles from the Beach Boys. Like, if we put it out, they put it out. Excuse me, if they put it, I said we. Shh, they put it out, and you hear it, and something, you're like, oh, like, that's really them. But I mean, you can you can map out. You can hear. Did you notice a difference, though, when you heard it? Some of them I can't tell because I will say I listened to
it. I didn't even listen to it.
Oh, you were over it.
Well, it was an hour ago, but I was preparing to talk to you. But
okay. I'm not going to lie. I want to listen to it.
I know. But the thing is, like,
I'm horrible.
but I'm fascinated with your take on this because of everything you just mentioned,
yeah.
Which is that you have been in this narrative ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
You're a living, breathing, feeling human being. It's what we are all drawn to.
Am I?
But you also understand the way that things can be wired and the way the Android works.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated to know, like, how are we supposed to relate to this change when all I want is to talk with you about what you've made?
Here's the thing. I feel you. I hear you. I mean, you know, Android is a human, has human characteristics, right? Like the computer, the thing that is, like, people are saying, like, robots don't have real feelings in humans. But I mean, androids are robots developing human characteristics. That's the definition of it. Cyborg is the other way around. What I do find value in is I love where we can stretch and evolve and understand the technology is always moving exponentially. And wow, look what we can do. Like, look what this is. I was at a convention where I saw from Boston Dynamics the robots. Like, there's a, what is the robot name? They do the flips and the.
Yeah, I've seen.
I saw this in person. Have you seen it in person?
Yeah, not in person. I've seen the video.
It's incredible, because I thought the video, I mean, I knew about these robots, but to see it in person was like, oh.
Can I ask you a really simple question at this moment in time? Were you excited? Yeah. Were you inspired? Were you nervous? Were you confused? Was it all of it? Like,
I was tickled. I was happy. I was happy. Listen, I'm a diehard sci-fi.
I know.
Like a fan to my heart. Like, I read Isaac Asimov, Ray Kurzweil, you know,
but
I know about
you,
all of this.
That's because you're able to consume that and absorb it and adapt it to your life.
Are you scared,
Zane? Yes. Aww. What happens if it starts to adapt and absorb you to the point where I lose touch with what I'm capable of?
And this is why music, this is why the arts, this is why parties, this is why real human to human connection is so important.
Yeah.
Because this is really the only time I think we'll have to, like, super connect before it goes to the next level. And that's not to be feared. It's just it's just to know that, like, we will be living in a different world. We will. And when I even think about this album, this is like the last album that probably I'll have before the world is completely integrated. Yeah, but you know that. You can work with anything, right?
Well,
you know, you have programmers too. I think that's important. Who's programming?
I'm not worried about my future or my job or any of the stuff that I know other people are concerned about, right? I'm fortunate in the sense that I'm of an age now in my life and what I do where I'm like, I'm not like, oh man, my number's up. Like, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about how I choose to be inspired in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And ultimately, what I yearn for, which is, I want to try to experience what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And I find it deeply inspiring to do that through the arts. Some people do it through athletics. Some people do it, you know, they champion and cheer for a team. And that's a huge part of their identity, right?
Right.
When they win and lose, it's life and death sometimes, it feels like, you know, even though it's not. Mine is the arts. Mm-hmm. And I guess where my trepidation exists is, and where you don't have any, is I don't know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I get worried that I'm like, what if this just removes some of that joy for me?
Mm-hmm. What if what removes some joy for you? Like the
way the art is created, distributed, and discussed and talked about, and all of a sudden the narrative becomes less about the why and the When and the Who. And it really only becomes about the what.
Because
I only really can get the what out of AI.
No, I get that. Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. And I won't say, you know, I have my feelings. I'm not going to share them all here.
Of course.
We can talk
offline. Well, we don't know either. Yeah. That's the thing. You know more than I do, but I don't know.
We can talk offline. But I think it is just super important that we continue to tell stories, that we continue to have, like, connections with each other. We make it a point to, like, have those moments. We don't get those back. And just enjoy each other. Like, enjoy each other while we can.
Who am I going to jam with?
You can.
Who am I going to jam with?
Listen, robots will not be invited to all the parties, okay? Because one of the things that you do have to have, at least to come to my parties, is you have to, like, understand the vibes and the energy, and that's even some humans can't come.
I haven't even been invited to one of the parties yet, so I'm thinking, like, maybe I need to myself up.
No, you're always invited. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Everything will have its order and its place, and
yeah.
I think that, you know, just like with the internet, when the internet came, it's a whole different thing now when MySpace was out. And
I get it. Genie's out of the bottle.
You go in, you give what you need to give, you take what you need to take, and get out.
This is the thing I love about it, and this is where we can end it, is, yeah, you're absolutely right. We can't ignore the role of discipline in our life.
Yeah.
How we choose to live our life.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, you can't give over any responsibility just because it's available.
True.
You have to show discipline in
you
your life.
You have to have discipline and balance, and to each its own, you know, like, what is it, to each its own.
My favorite Janelle Monáe yet. This is awesome. I'd love to talk some more about where this music is for you. You know, I mentioned before that you take your time, and I respect that. I know there was time that disappeared for us all in a lot of ways. And
What is time even?
Well, exactly.
Do we even believe
in time?
That's
kind of where I was going with it. Like, I don't even, the only time I believe in time is when I feel like I'm losing it. So if someone's not well, or, you know, like, I'm in that place right now where, like, my identity.
Mortality,
mortality.
I understand that. And that's a fear, you know, of mine. And you know, especially with your loved ones, your parents and your people around you. And it's sort of like, it's inevitable. But also, what do you believe in terms of how energy is reincarnated? How do we, you know, how energy never dies? How it goes. Like, it's honestly what you choose to believe that I think will help you have the best earth experience.
Can we sit there for a second with you and just without going into personal detail and to preserve those feelings that are just purely yours, but how you've developed your own sense of energy preservation, how you choose to remember and recall things and how it influences you and ultimately how you want to be remembered.
That's the beauty of music. Like, I'll always have a song. I'll always have something that I want to create. And I think through creations, through art, through music, through my storytelling, all of that is what will be left behind.
Those will be
the artifacts.
It lives and breathes.
That's what I hope. And for me, I feel like, you know, in terms of purpose, sometimes the mission changes, but what's been steady with me has been my job is to unite, you know, is to unite and to also show, to also to be a free ass motherfucker. Like, that's how I want to be remembered. I wasn't afraid to take risks and to completely, like, crumble up the page and write a new one for myself, no matter who is watching. Like, being able to change my mind on my thoughts and my beliefs and evolve and honor the present version of myself, not the past, not the future, like I mentioned, but just really, like, honoring what it means to be mentally, spiritually free from this sort of, like, or no, scratch that. I'm going back around.
That was good.
What was the question?
That was good, though.
You know what?
That was good.
Let's just leave it then. Leave that.
I was there.
And get me saying, leave that. Just leave it. I was going somewhere, but I think that's really powerful. Not that I was perfect or I did everything well. That's not it. It's like, how did I get up when things were not good for me?
Mm. The word that I always think of when I, from the second I saw you perform and heard your music, was that you have maverick energy. You have this sense of, to your point, this kind of freewheeling creative spirit that cannot be contained. And as soon as people think they've figured you out, you're on to the next thing straight away.
You said it.
Right?
You said it.
And, but then you also have this ability to exist in something as rigid as Hollywood. You know, which is about the most rigid creative environment there is, right?
Yeah.
They're not even ready to pay their writers properly. Yeah. So it's like, so when I see you on a big screen in the theater, and you're able to adopt that role, I'm super blown away because you've pivoted again completely into something else.
Yeah.
How do you find that experience working in cinema?
Well, one, we're artists, right? We love music. We love, like, sort of curating experiences and telling stories. That's the umbrella in which I work, telling stories through music, through film, through fashion, through all of it. And I always say I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Like, there are certain things that perhaps, you know, I will have to just walk away from or fight for, or, you know, stand on and
compromises that you're probably willing to make for the result as well here and there, if they are appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can go get some fries, and if they don't have no ketchup,
it's okay.
All right, I'll eat my fries. You know, whatever. I'm not gonna go in and go talk to the manager. What the okay? Yeah. You know, there's some things like once you understand the matrix that is this, then you pick and choose what you are willing to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been. And I've never lived a life where I wasn't singing and acting and performing. So, you know, I was just thinking about, like, middle school. I'm literally doing exactly what I was doing when I was in the sixth grade. I was doing talent showcases, singing cover songs, after school Shakespearean programs, doing the musicals, and then with my friends throwing parties.
Yeah.
Sixth, seventh grade, like, I was throwing parties in middle school, charging people $1 to get in. And I just had a thought. I used to hide in the bathroom because I didn't think anybody would come to my party.
Oh, that's abandonment issues.
I know. I was dealing with it then.
I'm just dealing with it right now. I'm getting over it. I'm about to have my first milestone party this year.
Amazing.
First time
I've
ever thrown. Yeah, I'm proud of me too.
Yes, friend.
I mean, you know, for the longest time, I was the guy that would never be you know, drawn to the planning table.
It's nerve-wracking internally. It's like I have anticipated anxiety about stuff. It's ridiculous.
Same.
But we're getting through it. We're self-reflecting and correcting, and we're working through it, right?
Yeah, of course. That's all we can do. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, we're stuck in it. And we don't get the music. We don't get the art. We don't get the benefit.
No.
Unless you do the work, which is why, again, the time you take is worth every second of us to wait for it.
It is.
You know, the age of pleasure.
Ah,
is the name of this project, this album, right?
The age of pleasure.
Which is sick. It's kind of, to me, it conjures up real kind of like...
can I show you the album cover?
Yeah.
I'll show you the album cover.
Hell yeah. Age of pleasure.
The age of pleasure.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, it's the headiness of hedonism, right? It's not the ism. The ism's where things go wrong. We put isms on the end of things, and most of them end up being quite negative.
True.
But the headiness is like, if we could have just stayed there.
And it's so crazy, like, I'll have to show. But the cover, it's so interesting how we deal with how you can promote guns and violence. Mm. And when you just think about so much, but how in certain regions I've had to...
toned down.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
I'm just like,
it's bizarre.
I'm over it.
We protect the constructs that make money and kill people, but we deny the natural inclinations of humanity.
I'm over it because I was so excited about this. I don't want to give too much hints away.
Yeah.
But let me here's where we are. I actually should have had this. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here
I just want to see all the photos she's scrolling past. Right, that's what I want to see. You've got about 300 photos down. I'm like, and you've been telling me about these parties after dark. I'm like, let's see those photos.
Well, it's just, you know, well, you can't see all of them. some things. Oh, here we go.
You got it?
Okay, here it is. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is fire.
You like it?
Fire.
I'm obsessed.
It's amazing.
I'm so obsessed. But now you see what I'm saying about, like,
and yeah, why people be, some people might take offense to that. It's bizarro.
It's so annoying.
But it's like, to me, that's art.
It's
that's
a stolen
art.
Moment.
That's art. That's
it was
art.
A real moment.
It was a real moment?
It was a real stolen Captured. Moment. It was. And that's what I'm about. Oh, the other thing, and I know you'd appreciate this because you were such, like, the DJ.
Yep.
When I was writing The Age of Pleasure, I wrote it with friends, four friends. I was just like, if my friends with this is for us.
Yeah.
Because when we are together, this is like, I want them to want to play it.
Yeah.
You know? And what I would do is, if I knew we were having a party like on that Friday or Saturday, on Monday and Tuesday, I'd be like, all right, we're going to write three songs. If the songs can't work at the party, they're not going on the album.
Done.
I was like, if people are not trying to Shazam, because I was like, don't say it's me. Like, don't. If they know, whatever, I need them Shazamming.
Just drop it in the set.
Just drop it. And
drop
so
it
I have
in the set.
I have my friend who's my DJ,
yeah.
DJ Nana Kwabena. He worked on some of the songs on the project with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, just play it, put it after this song, like we put it in the set list. And that's how we made the album. We were playing. I was walking around.
Road-tisting.
I was so scared. I almost went to the bathroom one time, but we like Float, we did like that. Lipstick Lover, we did like that. I have a song called Champagne that's on there. I don't want to give away too much, but basically every song that you'll hear on the project, that's how I did it. I
got
was
the
like,
party seal of approval.
I want it. I was like, these are the people that I'm making it for.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, it's not, you know, I want it to be so specific to this Pan-African crowd who are my friends. I want it to be like a love letter to the diaspora. If they put it, like, it's good. I'm great.
Do you remember what it was like when you played Lipstick Lover at the party for the first time?
Yes, I do.
Can you describe it?
It was a lot of winding of the hips.
Yeah, for real.
It was a lot of closeness. This is so funny. That song, Lipstick Lover, I'm like, why didn't I write this song years ago? Because if you know me, today I don't have on any red lipstick, but I'm always in red lipstick.
Yeah.
And there have been so many instances where I've made out with, like, somebody at a party. And, like, it's dark. Nobody notices it. But when the lights come on, whoever I've made out with, lipstick all over their face. And then I've also been on the receiving end of, you know, a human, you know, who's
Can I just say as
so
well,
attractive.
Anybody who's listening to this right now, you should never still be at the party when the lights go on.
Right.
You have to know person who's gonna flick the switch, and they have to give you the heads up, and you have to LAX it just before the lights go on.
Or like, I'll get home, and I'm like, oh my God, I have lipstick all over my face. And I've also been the lipstick lover.
Yeah,
where,
you've been exactly.
Where you know exactly who I kissed.
That's amazing.
It's everywhere. So that song was written. All the songs were written from such an honest space. Mm-hmm. And what I'm super excited about, you know, with The Age of Pleasure is...
Well, you say way better than I do. That was awesome.
The Age of Pleasure. is that, you know, like, listen, I've had my age of depression. I've had my age of anxiety. You know, I've had my age of struggle. Mm. And again, it's not like life is pleasurable every single day. Mm. But I think I have actively just sought out
the pursuit of
how do I create a space for myself? How do I redirect my mind on how I'm thinking about things? How do I realize that right now, in this present moment, moments that we'll never get back, this is where you need to find your pleasure. Mm. This is your moment. Don't let it get confused that, like, 5 minutes later, you know, we're gonna try to go into doing something different. And again, this is just my experience where I'm at. Even despite what I may be going through, there's going to be a moment where this bad moment I won't even be around to even discuss it. I won't, you know, and that's it. Bam.
It gets back to that concept of mortality and ultimately what you're going to recall and what's going to be the most vivid reminder of a life well lived.
Yeah.
And there's so many things around us that dominate and occupy our time. Again, the time thing.
It's true.
And that if I feel when you find a place when you're genuinely happy or you're experiencing pleasure or you're with the people that you care about or, by the way, you know, sometimes I find myself sitting on a patio or outside or in a field with three or four people and the conversation's so engaged and we're all just so happy to be around each other.
Yeah.
I'll cry. Aww. Like not because something triggers me that someone said, but the emotion. I get it in conversations with artists where something's so dialed in, I'll feel my eyes starting to, that to me is a form of pleasure. That to me is a form of like.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you're saying that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but give me like, I'm going to softly play. I need you to give me some moments that bring you pleasure. You can say work-related things, but I want to know.
That's fun. And I get that. I get genuine pleasure when I get to find kindred spirituality with the people that inspire me, when I feel like it's a genuine moment and it's not a trade. That is real. That's real emotional. That's very rewarding for me. That's pleasurable for me. You know, and I get real pleasure from, you know, maintaining and building upon and striking new connection with my wife, even at 24 years of marriage.
Oh my God, beautiful. You know? Congratulations.
To be able to know that bond is like as strong and getting stronger every day. That's a very heightened sense of pleasure for me. And then just being with my family and my friends and seeing our kids grow up in a way which is just... I see their eyes open a little bit every day and I see what they're seeing is the right stuff.
Yeah.
Asking the right questions, questioning the right things, choosing the path. That is pleasure. And then there's a piece of sushi that they make at Matsuhisa, which is a seared beef, which is exceptionally expensive. And this may not make the edit because I don't want to flex, but four pieces of that and I'm fucking done.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Now, I want, you can just give me one beautifully described while I strum for you. I would like to hear from you, Janelle Monáe, about something that ultimately, very recently, has given you great pleasure.
Something recently that has given me great pleasure. Well, first of all, seeing your face, Zane, it's been too long.
I know, you're the best.
It's been too long. I was trying to find and what else has given me pleasure? One of my friends who is an aspiring model and actor was told that they had some work that they were going to be doing in New York that they were excited about, like they've been really low and down about it. So that gave me pleasure to like celebrate her in that moment.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, because, you know, I get a lot of people, some people celebrate me, some people don't, but sometimes I like to be able to, and my friends celebrate me a lot. Like they're always in my corner.
As they should.
And I love that I can like do that for them.
And also to see life turn around for somebody too, to realize that like, just when they're starting to feel at their lowest point, that life has a trick up its sleeve. That's the thing. It's the magic we never truly can understand.
Yeah. What else gave me pleasure? Has been giving me pleasure. Oh, I did a Met Ball after party, and that was fun.
How was the Met? Was it fun?
It was cool. I love that I went with a designer who, you know, had sent me things at since the beginning of my career when I had no suits. Tom Brown.
Oh, I love Tom Brown.
Cool, right?
Yep.
Such an imagination. So when he and I got together, it was just like endless ideas. That gave me great pleasure. I was happy, you know, to like wear something that had a story to tell. And it spoke about my transformation and my evolution.
You looked wicked, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. So that was cool. And then the after party, I decided I wanted to be on top of a bar I was hosting. in a bikini. Yeah. I wanted to do that. Like, I and that's the thing. Like, my friends have gotten, this is also important, my friends have gotten an opportunity to see a different side of me that nobody else gets to see.
Yeah.
And this album, this moment that I'm having, I'm allowing myself to show that version of Janelle that my friends get to see all the time. Like, I want to own all of me and be all of me. I don't want to just, you know, reserve. Some things I reserve for just specific people, but I think it's so important that I'm smiling, you see that. That I'm laughing, you see that. That you knew that while Janelle Monáe lived, she had a good motherfucking time. She had a good time.
You're the best.
The album is called The Age of Pleasure. It is streaming now in full on Apple Music. And of course, it's incredible. Go listen to it. Thanks very much for listening to this, my latest conversation right here on the podcast, the interview series with the incredible Janelle Monáe.